Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Here they come to the stripe. Richard Petty's STP Oldsmobile. Waltrip dives to the inside. Petty almost put him off in the grass, and Richard Petty will win.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best racer ever was. Most wins.
It's Richard Petty by a foot. Petty wins his 200th career NASCAR victory.
Well, without Richard Petty, where would the sport be? He's a king.
Petty is sliding, slamming into the wall. He's coming down toward the finish line. Will he make it?
Motor Racing Network presents Richard Petty, Road to Royalty.
The winner of the World 600, Richard Petty.
He's always got something funny to say, always got a story.
Ladies and gentlemen, this crowd is going wild at Daytona as Petty takes the checkered flag and wins.
From the Motor Racing Network studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Welcome to part one of a series we call Richard Petty, Road to Royalty. As we celebrate his 80th birthday, we'll cover in a 10-part series all aspects of the King and his contributions to the sport of NASCAR. This week, we start from the beginning. We'll call it the early days. To tell Richard Petty's story, you really have to start with his father, Lee Petty. Lee started the Petty legacy in the early 50s and won three Cup Series championships in 54, 58, and 59. The NASCAR Hall of Famer was one of the biggest and best in his own right, but the reasons for racing were vastly different between Richard and his father. Richard's cousin and crew chief Dale Inman explained those differences.
Lee started racing when he was 35 years old, and of course they didn't let Richard run until he was 21. Richard loved to drive. I think Lee done it strictly for a living. How much he enjoyed it, I can't say, but you know, he had to be 45 years old when he won Daytona in 1959, and that's pretty old for a driver now, you know. But what a racer Lee was, and he made his living racing, you know what I mean. I think Richard would have raced his whole life for nothing if he could eat a hot dog once in a while. And I think Lee was in it to make a living for his family.
In racing, durability is just as important as speed. And there's an old saying, to finish first, you first must finish. Lee Petty knew that, and he instilled it in his sons, in Richard and Maurice.
In our case, it wasn't so much until 64 that we thought about speed, because we run up against the Hudson Hornets and the Oldsmobiles and things like that. It had a hot lot more horsepower, but our infancy was one that Lee sort of taught Richard and myself. He said, don't leave this shop until that car is ready to come off that trailer, ready to race. He says, races are not won on a racetrack. They're won at a shop before you get there. Because if you got it ready when you get there and you can unload and they throw the green flag, you're going to beat 99.9% of them. He was a fanatic on checking everything and double-checking it. Now, a lot of times when we used to, back in the 50s, we'd go what they call a Northern Tour, and you'd like to run 2-3 races a week. But we get an old hotel or something, and out there he would have to be out there in the yard working on it, you know. So he stayed dead after his cars. He kept good equipment, the best he could with the money he had.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In 1958, Richard Petty strapped on a helmet for the very first time and started his legendary career.
I was real fortunate to be able to do what I'd done in the time I'd done it, because my dad was running cars. There was no sponsors at that particular time. So he was doing it out of his back pocket. Mother kept the books and gave him so much money a week, I think, to run the race car on. And so me and Dale and another boy went to Columbia for the first race that we run. And I had never been on a racetrack with a seatbelt and a helmet of any kind. It wasn't anything as far as motorcycles or go-karts or, any kind of cars that we run, because we was busy working on race cars. So I was a raw rookie at 21 years old. And so we went down, we run the race, and wound up didn't crash. The next three or four races, I think I crashed in, but I thought I was a race car driver. It just went from there. We was just so fortunate to be able to start with the big boys, more or less. We didn't start and work our way up. We started at the top and was able to run the cars that Daddy'd run 1 week. We'd take the top off of it the next week, and I'd run it as a convertible.
In the late 50s, being a rookie was not that big of a deal, because most of the drivers were rookies.
Well, back in the day, they didn't know the difference. everybody was a rookie. It was pretty wide open, because you got to figure NASCAR wasn't about 10 years old when I came along. So there was no set patterns of what you do and how you do it. The press wasn't there to be able to follow you through and stuff. So everybody just done their thing. And I came along at a perfect time for me, because it was easy for me to get in. It'd be a lot harder to break in today than it was then.
Even though his brother Maurice Petty was the engine builder, Richard was heavily involved with building the race cars as well.
I never looked at it as a profession. The work that we'd done at the shop, getting the cars to and from the racetrack. I used to work in the shop, build engines for a little while, and I didn't do too good a job. So my brother took that over, and he was really, really, really good at that. And me and Dale to work on the car, and I'd want something changed on the car, and they'd have me to do it, because they said, you're the one that's got to drive the car, so how do you want it? And when we built cars in the winter or worked on them in the summertime, I was right up under the car. And then long in the 60s, 70s, we got hung up with STP, and the first thing they started, you want to do an appearance here, you got to go do something for STP. And over a period of time, they worked me right out of the race car, but I still drove the thing, and we still run races. But that was the fun part, being able to work on the car and then go out and prove that something you done on the car worked.
On February 28th, 1960, in his 35th start, Richard Petty won his very first race at a half-mile track then known as Southern States Fairgrounds in Charlotte. Petty took home $800 that day. This Sunday, Richard Petty turns 80 years old, and the celebration will be happening in Daytona this weekend. Join us next Tuesday for part two of Richard Petty, Road to Royalty, as we cover the King's history on the high banks of Daytona International Speedway. Until then, for the Motor Racing Network, I'm Mike Bagley. Have a great week.
Richard Petty, Road to Royalty is produced under an exclusive license with NASCAR. Any use of the description and accounts contained in this broadcast must be with the express written consent of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.